ladies and gentlemen. I'm Joe Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. We're packed today. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL, preview the Penn State-Michigan college football game, take a look at the Capitals and Rangers slow starts as NHL season gets kicked off. We'll talk a little bit of Breaking Bad and possible future episodes that could have been in the pop culture corner. And then we'll bring it home with Mike's Beer Blast. Joining us today is special guest J.J. Kowal to help us break all of this down. Guys, how you doing?
Fantastic. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's a weekend, you know, football, so you can't really beat it too much. Speaking of football, I can't believe we're at week six with the NFL already. The Skins were off last week, but they have a big Sunday night matchup against the Cowboys in Big D. Last week, the Cowboys put up 48 points. So with the Skins' defensive woes to start the season, you guys concerned at all about how they'll be able to fare against the Cowboys' offense?
Oh, JJ, what are you thinking, buddy?
I definitely got Romo in my fantasy. No, if he can do that to Denver's D, he's gonna definitely have fun with ours. So they're gonna put up some points. So it's just hopefully this is the week that RG3 starts scoring some mad points, and we can get some, you know, a couple stops, get him to start throwing some picks. We could be okay, but man, our defense is looking rough.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It just all depends on I think how RG3 performs. We're gonna have to keep up with them. There's just no way our D is gonna shut them down. Although I remember last year, surprisingly, D'Angelo Hall did a pretty good job on Dez Bryant, but I just don't expect that to happen again. And
yeah, he has a good game every. Then,
yeah,
he does. Comes out of nowhere and has a monster game.
Yeah, but Miles Austin's supposedly back, and then you got Witten, you got Dez Bryant. Like, they're just such a high-powered offense. DeMarco Murray's actually a really good running back. You know, I think they themselves just have a pretty bad defense, and I don't think their coach is the best coach in the world. So I think those are their biggest problems. So if RG3 plays, I mean, we saw glimpses. It seems like each game he's getting a little bit better. I think his the Oakland game was the best game he had by far. Granted, they were playing against Matt Flynn, which might be one of the worst quarterbacks ever played in the NFL.
Yeah.
But him himself, it seems like he's progressing. So, you know, I don't think this game is the game where he comes out and you're like, all right, he's back. But I think he'll be better than last game. And then they gotta, if they can jump out early and put the majority of the game on Alfred Morris's shoulders, I feel confident in that. But if they get behind big early and they have to pass their way back into the game, I think we're in trouble.
I could see that too. Yeah, I could see like a 30-27 type game with that. But if it gets any higher than that, I think the Skins could be in trouble. I saw RG3, I think I saw he said he's rejuvenated after the bye week. So I think that could play a factor into it. But I guess with the Skins, I think with him, I think the bye came at the perfect time. You know, after four games, gives him another 2 weeks to prepare. So I know the Rams don't have a bye week until much later on. So I think for the Skins, they are – they're fortunate scheduling that they didn't have to play too many more games without the bye week.
Yeah, that's a good point. For RG3 and also for Alfred Morris, I mean, he was a little banged up and, you know, just hasn't gotten a full good game under his belt yet. So I'm looking for him to really bounce back this week.
Yeah, they've really kind of fell behind so quick in the first couple games that they haven't had a chance to run the ball.
Yeah, exactly. The second leading rusher last year. So, you know, it's kind of weird. It seems like a different team this year, but I think they'll get back on track a little bit.
Yeah, and if you look at his stats, I think yard per carry per game this year is the same, if not even a little better. But they just really haven't had a chance to give him the ball the full duration of the game. So I'm hoping they get a chance to do that. Then we got Rob Jackson and Jarvis Jenkins back, too, so that might help out on the defense some. And then Reed, the tight ends, it looks like all the tight ends will be back and healthy, too. I think Logan Paulson's still a question mark, but Logan Paulson's huge when he's out. You know, he's not a big name, but he's definitely one of the best blockers, tight end blockers that we have out there. You know, Davis and Reed are more just physical freaks that can catch the ball and make plays. But it means a lot to have a guy that can block really well out on the field.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny to think with the Skins and looking at the standings is that, you know, they got off to that rough start, but a win there and they're, you know, they're right there for first place in the division.
Yeah, nobody wants to win this division, man. So we just need one or two wins here. We'll have a commanding lead. I mean, that's what makes this game so big.
Yeah.
That, you know, we're basically tied, I think. Half game back or something.
Yeah. It's really up to the Eagles, too. I mean, what's crazy to think about it, with the winless Giants, if things pan out right over the next couple weeks, and, you know, or a lot of the other teams lose, they're not even out of it. I mean, that's how bad the division is. So it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy to think how bad these teams are when, you know, normally they're one of the powerhouse divisions in the league.
Yeah, and from last year, you know, I'm not counting them out yet because they had a great comeback last year in the season. You know, won a lot of games, and so then they haven't had everybody clicking, like you said, with finally getting Alfred Morris back and healthy, and
yeah,
they haven't played yet like they played last year. So if they can do that, especially this week, would be great. But at some point, if they can do that, I think they can start putting some wins together. Except they aren't wins a division, so we should be good.
Yeah, because they were 3-6, right, when they went on their run to win the division last year.
Yeah, so killed it
7 in a row.
Yep.
So I guess I give the Giants a little bit of hope as well, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're still in it, too. They're not much further off of it than we are. So
I'm just shocked how bad Eli's played so far this year.
Yeah, they're so bad. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But, it should be those Cowboys-Redskins games are always pretty good, so I'm looking forward to that. And, yeah, good job by the NFL putting that in prime time. That should be a good one.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped up.
And then I guess with the rest of the league, it's funny with my Rams. I guess, you know, like 2004, 2005 was when, like, you know, the kind of the tail end of the greatest show on turf, and I still expect them to win every game. It got kind of miserable. But now, you know, I realize football is much more fun to watch when you have realistic expectations for your team. So, like, watching the Rams go into Houston, I've already kind of reserved myself to the fact that they're probably going to lose that game. So,
Come back down to earth these last couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely just I realize how much more fun it is to watch when you're realistic about what the team's going to do. And even though Houston's been kind of up and down, they looked awful against San Fran on Sunday night. I just don't see the Rams kind of, you know, finding a way to win this game. I mean, I'd love it if they did. It would probably wreck some survivor pools if the Rams won on Sunday, but I don't see it happening. But the two big things with this game are the quarterbacks. I'm shocked by how much, you know, flack Bradford's gotten given the lack of talent around him. But I know they tried to improve it, but it's still not stellar. And then in Houston, I mean, how much longer do you guys think Kubiak can go with Matt Schaub?
Oh, that's looking really bad. It's one of those where it's like he's not terrible.
Yeah.
But everybody's just kind of like, where are we going with this guy? And it's like, how long do you do that? You know, I mean, he's like, with everything he has around him, he should be dominating. He should be, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's just not. He's just kind of
average. Yeah, I completely agree. But how much do you blame on the coach too? You know,
sure.
I feel like they're not coached that well, and you know, so it's definitely he's not been great. But you know, I read an article that one of the last pickles he threw in the last game. They said pretty much Kubiak, I guess he didn't have much confidence in Schaub, and he pretty much told him, you're going to throw it to that receiver, and, you know, no matter what, didn't give him a check down option, and that's why he threw the pickle, because he gave him no other options. So I don't know I don't pay attention much to the Texans at all, but he seems like he might not be the best coach either.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I've never really been bought into that team because, you know, both in the coach and the quarterback combo there. Because I feel like if you look at the better teams in the league, they're all just incredibly well coached. Usually have a good quarterback too. It's just that's just so important in the NFL with a quarterback because the league is so passer friendly. And then so much strategy goes. If you don't have a good coach, it's tough to overcome a bad coach, I think, in this league.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, we've said that multiple times, you know, how Brady's good, but how good would he be without Belichick, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, Schaub's, he's not terrible. It's just he's clearly not the best, but, you know, Flacco wasn't the best, and they went in the Super Bowl. And, you know, I don't think you need the top guys to make it. It's definitely more your run game and your defense, but, you know, but they've had that for a while and haven't really done anything with it. So I wouldn't dump them, but, you know, it's how long do you stick around? That's a rough thing. And a friend of work's a Vikings fan, and they're just like, he just wants to be done with Ponder and everybody. So, you know, he was happy about Freeman coming in. And,
sure.
And, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, you don't want to dump him. You know, he's obviously got – fairly good rapport with everybody. You don't want to start over, but, you know.
Who is their backup quarterback?
Yates or something?
Yates.
Who's not good either, so you got to stick with him for this season. But
TJ who?
Yates.
Oh, Yates. Yeah. Gotcha.
That's another thing, too, is that sometimes you have to look at if you sit him, what are you going to? And it's not a better option, so it's almost stuck with them. That's why I know the Rams gone flack because, you know, I feel if Bradford had a more competent backup, he might be pushed a little bit more. You can say the same thing with the Giants and Eli Manning. I mean, you know, as bad as he's playing, they're not gonna sit him. So sometimes you're in a spot where you're kind of, even if your quarterback's playing lousy, you're kind of stuck with him because there's nothing good backing him up.
Who's the Rams backup, Joe?
Kellen Clemens.
Ooh, that's problematic.
That's nubbins, yeah.
That's also tough with the league too. Is that with the you know the salary cap and stuff? It's you can't really carry a really good backup because you think about like in the Niners dynasty they had you know Steve Young behind Joe Montana. Doesn't happen anymore. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to keep someone that good.
Yeah, like Cousins are already talking about him. He'll be on trade block here shortly. So you know it's like geez, he hasn't even really started to, but he's already like everybody needs him.
So it should be if the Rams can keep it within within 10 points the whole game, you know, I'll be happy with that. I mean, it's nothing worse than watching your team lose by 40, and then I'm one of those suckers who just can't, even when, like, you know, it's like they're down the Cowboys game, they lost like 31-7. I didn't really switch it off till near the end, even though I know there's better games on and I have the Sunday ticket package. I just for some reason I can't shut it off when it's my team playing. It's weird, I know.
Right, no, I'm the same way. It's like you want the moral victory, you know. You want to at least make it close, and you know, then you can say to the next guy, "Well, we almost beat so and so." So that's something, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just want, it's a tough balance. If you want your team to be good, and then at the very least, trying to be somewhat competitive. And speaking of good teams, we got a few teams left that are undefeated. I don't think anyone's too surprised with the Saints and the Broncos, but KC still going at that. I'm really impressed. I mean, I don't think they've had too tough of a go of it yet as far as their competition. They've had some decent wins, but still the fact that they're 5-0 I think is pretty impressive. I don't think anyone's going to go 16-0. So who do you guys see falling first between those three?
I definitely think it's KC.
Yeah.
That their schedule, they played three NFC East teams, so I think they're – and Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So I think when they get to they'll probably win again this week. I see them. They got Oakland.
Yeah.
Then they got Houston after that. Man, they could go – they're only in Denver in 4 weeks. They could go undefeated till that.
Yeah, they have the easiest schedule by far. Somebody's gonna
beat them, I think.
But yeah, it'll be. I think the Broncos are by far the best team out there.
Yeah, they look really good. I could see. I don't. In my picks thing, I think I've picked the Saints, but I could. They could possibly fall to the Patriots this week. You never know.
You never know. Patriots are amazing at home on bounce back games. Supposedly,
yeah, they don't lose two in a row very often.
Yeah.
And then I think that could be their toughest match. They're off week 7. And then after that, the Saints are hosting Buffalo. So, yeah, if they can get through New England, they might be good for a while, too. But, Denver's the best out of those three. I agree with you there, Mike.
Right. And based on the schedule, I'd go with the Saints. You know, this game's going to be the toughest of the three teams. You know, it's definitely the Saints got the toughest game this week. And then, you know, like I said, the Chiefs still have a pretty easy schedule, so... They could stay undefeated until they meet the.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's on. Yeah, I'd love to see a 16-0 team go. Although I have to admit, I just can't stand the Patriots. So when they played the Giants, and I think it was the 07 year when they could have gone 18-0, I just I couldn't root for them. Any other team, I would have rooted for any other team in the league to go undefeated, but I couldn't do it with them. So hopefully,
yeah.
Maybe we'll see it one day.
Agreed.
So a couple times in the past when Peyton was still with the Colts, they were like go 13-14-0, but then they were like sit their guys. They'd rather be healthy than go 16-0. So I always thought one of those teams might have been able to do it when he was still with the Colts. But
maybe
one day. And then on the flip side of that coin, there's still got some winless teams. Sadly, let's get the Giants, the Bucks, the Steelers, and the Jags. If you guys had to guess, who do you think will get off the schneid first?
Ooh.
It's not going to be Jacksonville this week, I'm sure.
Yeah. It will not be Jacksonville.
No.
I don't know. They're all pretty bad, man. I mean, Tampa Bay just got rid of Freeman. Now, who's their quarterback now?
Is it Glennon? Am I pronouncing it?
Glennon.
Yeah.
That's right. I don't know, man. They're all a disaster. I mean, I feel like I can't believe the Giants haven't won yet. I mean, I know they're not good, but they still have a good amount of talent. You would think they would have won by now.
They do. It's just, part of the problem, they got several problems. One of them is the offensive line. They just can't block.
Yeah.
And I always joke that offensive linemen are like oxygen. You don't realize how important they are until you don't have any. So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Peyton Manning's throwing a ton of pickles, too.
Yeah, I think 15 or so, I think, something like that. Yeah, and they've played 6. Yeah, and you can't win like that. That's one of the things in football is turnovers are just – they kill you. And,
yeah.
I mean, he just throws – he's thrown so many. And yeah, they can't block, and their defense isn't as good as – you know, their strength was always pass rush, and they can't get a pass rush going anymore. It's just a ton of problems with that team.
Yeah, that is weird because don't they have all the same pass rushers, Tuck and Pierre Paul and
everybody,
but they can't get a rush. That's kind of weird.
It's unbelievable. I honestly think you take all four, all the teams, put them in a bag and draw a name.
Yeah,
that's wins first.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
I kind of lean towards the Giants because they're in a weak division, so they're still in it. You know, it's not like they're out of it, so they're still kind of got that, and they just got to put it together, you know, they got everybody, it's just like, but yeah, I mean, if the line's that bad, any team can beat somebody with a bad line, because, you know, you can do whatever you want on the offense.
Yeah.
Do you give the Steelers any chance to get their first win against the Jets this week?
No, man, Geno Smith just went into Atlanta and beat them.
Yeah, I was impressed with that game. That killed me in Survivor Pool. I picked the Falcons, and
I think a lot of people picked the Falcons.
They did, yeah.
Yeah,
I saw something that all the New York fans are slowly starting to move the bandwagon over to the Jets. But not even slowly. It's, you know, it's like everybody's jumping ship and going to the Jets now, which is bizarre.
That's fantastic.
It's they're a fun team to watch. And,
yeah, I mean, if you took a poll before the season and said after, you know, 5-6 weeks, one New York team will be 3-2, the other will be 0-6, I'm sure everybody would have picked the Giants to be 3-2.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's all you heard coming out of campus. The Jets are a disaster. Da, 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 you know, and yeah, but yeah, I've actually been surprised that you know, Geno's, you know, played pretty well. And, like, I've heard of people saying, I agree, the Jets look like the Jets from when Rex Ryan first took over the team. Like, they didn't, like, light up the scoreboard or the stat sheet, but they were always in the game near the end because they played good defense and they didn't turn the ball over. And I don't think the Jets turned the ball over in Atlanta on Monday, which is probably one of the biggest reasons they won.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to give them the division or anything like that just yet. But, yeah, Mike, I think, yeah, I don't, I guess you really can't pencil Pittsburgh in to win that game, but I'm curious to see just because and the Steelers were off last week, so they've had 2 weeks to prep for Geno and another defense. If they can play any kind of resemblance of what they used to be, it could be a long day for the Jets, but that should be a good game.
Yeah, definitely.
But
yeah, it could be like the undefeated teams. You know, we're going to have to wait until two winless teams play each other.
Yeah,
they're all. Just like have their, you know, I'm leaning towards the Giants, but man, looking at them, they're losing games and they're losing them big, man. So it's like we got to put it together and quick.
A lot of that's some really really bad teams.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Baltimore after that, and New England, and
yep.
Yeah, I think talking about really bad teams is a perfect segue into our favorite college team.
Oh, no.
The Penn State Nittany Lions.
Yeah.
Grand 2, Mike. Come on.
Yeah. Were you guys...
They just lost the Indiana. Wasn't that the first time they lost to Indiana ever in Indiana Stadium?
I think
in the history of all mankind.
Of mankind and Penn State football.
I saw that.
I was gonna. I forgot to say when you were saying earlier, Joey, how you watch every Rams game till the bitter end.
Yeah,
you know we're like that with Penn State.
Sure.
But last weekend, I stopped. I walked out of the bar in the fourth quarter. I was so pissed off.
Oh man, I can imagine.
I couldn't take it anymore. That was the first time I did that in a long, long time.
Yeah, and I was watching it, and I'm seriously like, they were scoring, and I'm like. They were scoring two scores between the times I was watching it. They were, like, lighting it up. And I'm like, what the?
Yeah, exactly. It's like...
Where is in Indiana? Like,
it was unbelievable. Our defense was just bad. The game plan, I think we got out-coached more than anything, like we've talked about. I mean, the weather wasn't great. We have three decent running backs. I don't know why we don't. And when my boy Zwanak was running the ball, he was still hitting guys and dragging them another 3 or 4 yards. It's like, why did we not just run the ball the entire game?
Right. They ended up with like 15 carries. You know, like, dude, that guy needs 25 carries.
Yeah.
Running like that. Like, that's how you beat Indiana. You just wear them down.
Yeah. He carries the ball 25 times, we win that game. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's no excuse. I mean, but still, the scholarship thing. I mean, we got, you know, more than 20 less scholarships than all other college football teams out there. And that's what it really boils down to. I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. But what bugs me is, you know, that would hurt if we were losing guys. But we're relatively healthy. I mean, we...
Yes.
And I look back at the good years, you know, like 05 and 08. Those teams had, you know, 11 starters on defense, and they played maybe 13 guys during the game. You know, they mixed up the defensive line, you know, so maybe 14, 15
guys
really saw meaningful game experience. But for the most part, the secondary was out there the whole game. The linebackers were out there the whole game. And, and they could, if they needed to, put the starting defensive line, and they'd be solid.
Yeah.
It's like, and then –
Yeah, but on the flip side, you know, there's players out there on the defense, especially, you know, some of our DBs are out there, and you can tell that it's just too soon for them to be on the field, and the only reason they're on the field is because we have no other option. You know, you can see why, you know, we gave them a scholarship, you see streaks of genius, but on the flip side, they need a year or two to develop, and that, you know, that's where we have the problems.
Right.
So the fact that we're only giving Michigan 2.5 today is mind blowing to me.
Ooh.
I think it should be 21.5.
Jeez.
I honestly don't know what to expect from it. Of course, right before kickoff, I think we'll win by a touchdown, but I wouldn't be surprised at half if it was 21-3.
Goodness. I was curious about last week. Did you guys go into that thinking there was any chance that Penn State would lose? So were you guys more surprised by the result total period or the margin that you lost by? Or was it both?
No, I thought there was no way we lost.
Just okay.
We've always had Indiana's number. A couple times they've been close.
Yeah.
But, and you know, their offense the past like 3 or 4 years has been really good. They had Tandon Doss. They had really good receivers, decent running backs. I think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis went there or something. So they've had a good offense, but their defense is just terrible. And that's what Mike was talking about, you know. Like, we should have been lighting up their defense, just wearing them down by the fourth quarter. And I thought it would be close, but I thought we would have them so worn down by the fourth quarter that it would be the exact opposite. We would have pulled away in the fourth quarter. But we kept passing and Indiana pulled away.
You know, I differ on that, though. I would have felt like that if we didn't lose to UCF. But once we lost to UCF and I saw what a halfway decent offense could do to our defense.
Yeah.
And it's really the DBs, you know. It's our secondary. It's just not good. And that's what Indiana was. They were the number one, I think, passing team going into that game in the Big Ten. So that's what scared me. And I still thought we would win. I thought there was a chance that we lose, and if we did lose, it would have been by a field goal, a touchdown at the most. I didn't expect just a complete dismantling of us there towards the end. I mean, those back-to-back scores were, you know, you go into the fourth quarter and you're like, all right, we score, it's no big deal, we'll still be able to win the game, but then they score twice in a row, and that was just took the life out of us.
And that's why I don't fault the defense too much, because the one was a fumbled kickoff.
Yeah.
Went for it on fourth down, you know. Yeah. So the offense, you know, special teams fault.
Absolutely.
Like you said, the number one key to that game is our lack of a running game. I mean, I think Indiana was seriously like in the 110th, you know, rushing defense.
Yep.
We only put up 75 yards or whatever. I mean, we should have had 200. Like you said, if he gets 25 carries, we win easy. But we had to screw around and try and throw it in the rain.
Yeah. And it was a close game till the end, too. So it wasn't even like there was a reason to abandon the run. Bill O'Brien just wanted to pass the ball. And it's like, dude, use your strengths. Did you not look at the tape? Did you not read the stats, bro?
Right.
Run the freaking ball, and you'll win the game. And you should never lose to Indiana, by the way, ever.
It was 21. I started watching when it was 21-14 because I had son's soccer game, so I couldn't watch it the whole game. But I started watching 21-14. They're driving down the field. I'm like, I wasn't even that worried because I'm like, they'll score a touchdown here, and then they'll get the ball back, they'll run it again, you know, they'll just keep running, and this is when they'll get the bulk of their yards. But they just stopped running. It was only 21-17. They got the field goal, but they kind of got into panic mode after that.
Absolutely hurting. So for the keys to the Michigan game, JJ, what do you think they are? What if we do if we do what we win, if we do what we lose, you know, pick one thing we needed to deliver on that'll give us the win. One thing, if we don't deliver on, we're going to lose.
Yeah, it's definitely the turnover battle, man. If we want to keep this close, to win, I'd see us having to be +2 in turnovers. We got to get the rush going. We got to force something, which we can. I mean, Devin Gardner's had a lot of picks.
Yep.
That's their weakness. So we gotta stop the run up front and then force them in the third and long, and then not have a single turnover. I mean, they cannot fumble in this game, and that'll keep the crowd in it too.
Yeah.
Frankly, they need that, and so the turnover battle really keeps the crowd in it. Also.
Yeah.
As far as things they need to do to lose is put too much pressure on our freshman quarterback again. I mean, he's throwing 50 times a game, man.
Goodness.
Yeah, if they can bring the heat on Hackenberg, I think we're in trouble. I think my big one is come out fast, you know, score quick and score a couple times. We just always start so slow. And then I think get ahead early, and that'll enable us to run the ball and kind of control the play clock. I think we control the time of possession, I think we got a good shot at least trying to win the game. But if we have to come from behind, I think we're in trouble.
Yeah, they gotta stay. Yeah, at least within a score. Yeah, anything. It looks like the weather's gonna be kind of iffy too, which never helps.
I'm up in Lebanon right now, and it's pretty windy and kind of cold, and it, you know, we all know it rained like hell the last 2 days, yep. So I'm sure the field, I mean, they do a good job draining it, but things are probably still soaking wet.
Yeah, I have no doubt. So, yeah, I think like we said about last week, it seems like running the football would be prudent to, you know, try to keep the offense under control.
Absolutely.
That sounds like Zwinak weather right there.
Zwinak. So excited to see him.
So yeah, I'll be pulling for you guys. Hopefully they can, be competitive. And obviously, you know, win the game too. And another thing, I think JJ mentioned is just good positive plays to start, just to keep the crowd in. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now it's right before the game. I say we win by a touchdown. And, it's going to be a beautiful, hard fought football game.
Nice. Nice. I look forward to it. I'll definitely be watching some of that. So, yeah. Good luck to you both.
Yep. Can't wait to cry myself to sleep.
No, don't say that. So, should we, and it's weird, if with October, usually it's just, you know, football and, you know, playoff baseball. I thought we could spend a few minutes talking some puck since the NHL started, actually last week. You know, Mike, he's, you know, Caps fan. They start off 1-3. I know their games have all been close. Are you concerned? Do you think they'll shake this off? What do you think about how they've been playing so far?
One fantastic team to another. Sporting life. No, although their record doesn't look great, I think I'm still sticking by. This is the best I think they've looked in, you know, a long time. I think Oates has a good head on his shoulders. You know, people are already complaining he should be switching the lineups and changing the lines. I think the lines are solid. I just think they need to produce a little more in 5-on-5 hockey and tighten up the defense a little bit. Their power play is amazing. I think Holpe's the real deal. I think we got solid goaltending. I think it's just, you know, give them a little more game, you know, game time to shore everything up, and I think they'll be good. I think they'll be one of the solid teams in the division, and I'm not too worried. I don't know why people panic after 4 games, but
it's a long season.
It'll be interesting to,
It's a long season, you know.
Yeah, it's a really long season. Colorado's undefeated so far, so it'll be fun to watch them. They actually play tonight too, so I'm probably going to try to watch that game too.
Okay.
Between that and my Grand Theft Auto 5 playing.
this is a great time of year, man. Joe, yeah. Man, it's playoff baseball and hockey and football.
And when you're not watching sports, you can steal a car and go shoot people. Fantastic.
I didn't know you got that game, Mike.
Oh my gosh, dude. I played it for like 4 hours last night with my buddy Kevin, and it was fantastic.
Sweet. Yeah, I heard it. I've heard it's very entertaining, I've heard.
Yeah, we spent an hour and a half trying to steal a jet from the military base. It was fascinating.
So it's realistic, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. That is funny. I wish I shared your same optimism when it came to the Rangers, Mike, because it's funny because, like, you know, usually in any sport you don't take preseason too seriously, but I know there was concerns for the Rangers because they didn't play well in the preseason, but it's like, new coach, new system, blah, 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 but it's carried over into the regular season, and they just have not looked good. I know it's tough. They're on the road for the first 9 games, and I know they got a brand new coach, new system. But at least with the Caps last year, they had an excuse because it was a shortened training camp. The Rangers had a full training camp with their new coach, Mignot, and I think it's just still taking some time to get used to, you know, a guy who's more of an offensive mind than their previous coach. And it just seems like they are just the defensively, they just look a little bit lost. I think they're just so used to kind of crowding the net and blocking shots, which I think has exposed Lundqvist a little bit more because he's used to seeing fewer shots because his defense guys usually block a lot of stuff. So it's just it's been ugly to start, but I'm kind of taking your approach. That, you know, it's four games. Let's give it some time. Let's breathe a little bit. And I'll reassess once this 9-game road trip is over, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they react when they get home. I mean, it's tough for any team to start off like that, nine games straight on the road. I mean, that's kind of bizarre. So, like you said, though, it's real early in the season, so you never know. But like you said too, you kind of get a feeling of how the team's gonna be.
Yeah,
and you know, you watch the Caps, and you can tell they're going to be a good team and they're going to be okay. You
exactly.
Know, I watched a Rangers game and I'm with you. They look kind of dicey. They kind of look a little lost. So hopefully they figure it out sooner than later.
I definitely hope so because, you know, the Yankees didn't make the playoffs. The Rams stink. So I was kind of hoping for a good Rangers season. This is all I have left sports-wise as far as hopefully a fun, successful rooting interest.
Well, at least you follow the Yankees, man. I haven't watched a playoff game since last year, which was a fluke with the Redskins, so we're not used to that. Although, you know, Penn State does well every now and then, but
yeah.
I think we're approaching the dark years of them until we get back the full scholarship limit.
Yeah, and that was good news that they kind of pulled some of that back, right? That their punishment?
JJ, how big was that?
That was huge. I mean, this year is basically the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much restore them in 2 years, so we're back to, and that was really the only big deal was the scholarships. You know, down 20 scholarships, we would have been dreadful for 4 years.
Yeah,
you know, and that wasn't supposed to start till next year. So I mean, that was huge. And
yeah,
it'll only get better from here now.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to look at it, is knowing that this year will be the worst year. So I'll take a loss to Indiana and whatever else might come, but
it would be nice in the professional ranks to get, you know, Caps always blow it in the playoffs.
Yep.
Orioles get to the playoffs. Orioles and Skins get to the playoffs like, you know, in 3 to 10 years, so that's kind of rough.
Yeah, they're not perennial all-stars by any means. So, yeah, Penn State's always been, at least we have hope every year, but until they get their scholarship limits back, it's going to be pretty rough.
Yeah. So I thought that was a big plus for them to kind of get a little bit of relief there. And Mike, I was going to say, Rangers are in DC on Wednesday night.
Yeah, man. I would love to try to get to that game.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. So yeah, we'll see how the hockey goes. It's still so early, but it's always just good to check in on the teams. And yeah, I would definitely enjoy going to that game Wednesday. Before we get to the pop culture corner, there's something that I meant to add this to our outline. It's kind of a wild card thing. Last week in the baseball playoffs, I think, you know, Chipper Jones, lifelong Brave, was asked on a radio show what he thought how that series against the Dodgers was going to go, and he picked the Dodgers in four. And apparently the Braves were ticked off, so like no one, he threw out the first pitch in one of their games, and none of them would catch it. The mascot had to catch the first pitch he threw.
I heard about that.
What do you guys think about, like, you know, how loyal should a former player be if he thinks he has an opinion? I mean, should he have just said the Braves just because he played for them his whole career? Or I was wondering what you guys thought about that situation.
Yeah, I'm like, what does he have to win by doing that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the Dodgers fans are all of a sudden going to be Chipper Jones fans.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Braves fans are definitely going to do what they did, so.
Yeah.
What really, I mean, I guess maybe he's trying to pick whoever it was, but, you know.
Is Chipper Jones, is he an analyst now, or?
No, I think he was just like on a local, like on a radio show, and I think he just got asked, what's your pick for the series, when he said Dodgers in four, which he was right, by the way.
You know, I mean, it depends on how he said it. Like, if he came off, like, kind of harmful and was like, you know, the Braves are awful, they're going to lose, they're going to be a horrible team. But if he was honest and he was like, hey, listen, you know, I think, you know, the Braves are my team, I love them, I've played with them for years. Obviously, I want them to win, I'm going to pick them. But in all honesty, they're, you know, I think they're not the better team and they're going to lose in four. If he presented it that way, I mean, I think that's a little ridiculous that the entire team's just stiffed them. You know?
Yeah,
so
I agree.
So I think I'd have to hear how he presented it. But if he came off like an a-hole about it, yeah, totally. I'm on the team's side. But dude's got to be able to talk against his team. You can't expect him to not be able to say anything negative ever.
Absolutely. I agree with that, too.
Well, I'm just thinking from his perspective, from a business perspective, you know, he's probably going to have a car dealership here in the next 10, 12 years. You want to be, you know, in Atlanta, obviously. So, you know, he wants to be on the good side. Now they've got something to rag on him for. But I guess since it came true, he looks a lot better.
Yeah.
And he was right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That they lost
before. Yeah. So, yeah, I was just curious about that because it's just kind of interesting because you see a lot of former players in analyst roles and, like, someone like Ray Lewis, who on ESPN, it's got to be weird to talk, you know, negatively about the Ravens sometimes. But, I mean, you just got to, you know, if you're asked for an opinion, I think it's up to you and it's your right to be honest no matter where your loyalties lied when you were an actual player.
Yeah, he got in a bunch of heat for slamming Jacoby Jones and the other O lineman for going out to the club and getting beat up by a hooker.
Yep, sweet pea, right?
Yeah, sweet pea. It's well deserved criticism. You shouldn't be going out the night before practice getting beat up by a hooker. But you know, of course, the way Ray presents it is all on his high mighty horse, and he thinks he's the greatest man in the world. So I just hate listening to words come out of that man's mouth.
Yeah. I mean, he had his own issues when he, you know, so. I agree with you.
I'm sure you didn't murder somebody, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
For a guy with his past, he should talk a little bit less.
Yeah. Yes. And speaking of guys with checkered past, I guess we could move to the pop culture corner and talk about, I know, JJ wasn't on with us when Mike and I talked a little bit about the end of Breaking Bad, and I know you're a big fan, JJ, so what did you think of the end of the show?
Oh, man. I thought it was really perfect, man. It was really cool to see it, and, you know, you knew what was – you couldn't really get out of it, you know, but you kind of wanted to, and that was perfect. He helped his friend, you know, but didn't make it out. The worst thing, I think, would have been, like, some weird happy ending somehow.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, but it really wasn't the worst way. He got his revenge, and he helped Jesse out. So I thought that was really cool. One problem I had with it was the Nazis at the end, they weren't, like, they didn't think to check his trunk. Like, they searched him, they searched the inside of the vehicle, they searched everything, but they didn't check his trunk. It's convenient, but it was still cool. Overall, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. By the way, there's a huge Gatling gun in my trunk.
Yeah.
They just have them open it. It's over then, you know. But
yeah, I read and I kind of agreed. I think it really ended when you know, he called his wife and he was a complete a-hole to her, and he's, you know, halfway through the conversation. At first, you really thought, you're like, oh, my God, he finally did lose it. And he believes, you know, that he's doing the right thing. But then halfway through the conversation, he starts crying. And you realize that, like, you know, what he's doing is just tearing him up inside. And I thought, I kind of took that as, like, the ending of the episode. I wouldn't mind if it ended there. But, like, I feel like after that was kind of like the epilogue, and it was just showing you how, you know, everything kind of wrapped up and kind of did everything that you thought was going to happen and you wanted to happen. I get a little bitter sometimes when they make everything happen that you want to happen. I kind of like when it ends uneasy or it's a little open-ended so you can kind of leave it up to your imagination to you kind of end it the way you want it to end.
Right, yeah, and that could have gone on too long and jumped the shark and just would have been awful, but they ended it well, but, you know.
Yeah.
Not too perfect, not too true.
Yeah, I didn't have any problems with it at all. I thought it was good and what needed to happen, so that I think my only complaint is that it might almost have been too perfect.
Too neat. It was tied up, it was like, it really was tied up in like a nice neat bow, yeah.
And it was a lot. I remember looking at the clock going, all right, there's only 15 minutes left, and there's still all this stuff that needs to happen.
I did the same thing, yep.
I feel like they put a lot in that last episode. Could have maybe even, you know, made another episode, or at least given me an hour and a half or two-hour episode for the end.
Yeah.
To pump a little more in there, so.
Yeah, true.
Very true.
But overall, I think that rapidly has shot to my favorite show of all time.
Yeah, really was, man. It was. I didn't start watching it till this year. Like, we caught up on Netflix the first 5 seasons, and then we had to get them on Amazon Prime for the final season. And it was just like, could not have been better. Like I said the last time I was on, I'm like, I can't watch any shows now. I have have like a month break.
Yeah,
there's nothing compares to it.
Yeah,
you got all the sports and GTA 5.
The first season was a little slow, but once you got 3 or 4 episodes into the second season, it was just nonstop awesomeness till the end.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah. It grew, you know, it was so different from season to season.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it was kind of slow, because he was still kind of the nerdy high school teacher.
And honestly, once it picked up and like all hell started breaking loose, the only one episode that like really jumps to my mind out of all of those seasons that I was like, because you know it seems like once a season gets really popular, the next couple seasons there's like one good one and then 2 or 3 bad ones. But the only one that jumped out of my mind that I was like, that was just horrible, is when they were stuck in the lab and chasing the fly the entire episode. That was just a horrible episode.
You need to have one of those. You know, you can't possibly make like the best thing. And I think that's what they were doing. They were showing that they were bored making meth. You know, which I can't imagine in my life. You know, I only stick to no, never mind. But it showed that it does get boring. You know, there's days when it's just work.
I mean, I understand the concept of the episode, but still, for the entire episode, I think it was a little much.
I'm not going to watch that one over again, but, you know, I it's just like, I can't, there was a couple of bad things, but it was still so.
Yeah. Oh, boy, they're interviewing Bill O'Brien right now. I just saw Hackenberg. I'm getting excited.
And just lastly on Breaking Bad, I saw this week that, you know, producer Jeffrey Katzenberg was interested in ponying up $75 million to do like 3 extra episodes of Breaking Bad, you know, kind of like a pay-per-view type thing. And I know you guys both love the show as well. So would you have had any interest in seeing like what the rest of the characters were up to after, you know, after the finale? And would you have been willing to, you know, pay, you know, whatever it was to watch those episodes?
Oh man, I think I'm 100% in. Like I said, that was just such a great show. I totally pay some more money to see what else they have. I guess I just wouldn't want it to be. I think, you know, 2 or 3 episodes would be perfect. If they were going to try to make a whole nother season after wrapping everything up, I think that would have been a little ridiculous. But yeah, I'm totally interested in it.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
initially, I was like, no way. It's perfect as it is. But, I mean, you could see what happens to Jesse, you know, where he goes, what he does. You could see what happened to the – I'd like to see what happened to the Saul's, like, bodyguard guy.
Yeah.
He was sitting in that room,
mm-hmm.
and Hank told him to sit there, and then Hank and Gomi got got shot up. So he's still sitting in that room. I think he'd die if he leaves. So – That was
kind of
weird.
Yeah. Is Saul's spinoff show still a possibility?
I believe so. I think.
Yeah, I'm getting serious about it. So.
Yeah.
So maybe they could just use that as to tie up some loose ends on the other characters.
Yeah, but it's a prequel.
It's the prequel.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a prequel.
Yeah, it's pretty much before he became, you know, Walt's lawyer. So yeah, that's where they're going with that.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting that someone, you know, would. Well, I mean, obviously he's a fan of the show to put up that money, but also it would be, you know, interested in making a profit too. But just the thought that someone would actually take the time to think about, wow, I could, you know, make this great pay-per-view event to like a show that much, it was just, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a weird business model there. That they cut it up, they said, into 6-minute sections and like, you know, have people pay $1 for each section or something like that.
Yeah.
So it really been a different way of doing things.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I would have. I probably would have been willing to pay to watch three more, but I wouldn't have liked that setup where watching it 6 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
I liked watching it Netflix style, like bulk episodes just to keep track of it. So, it's
absolutely
kind of bogus. And like they said, if they'd have caught it sooner, they could have set up for that, but they really ended it so well that they can't really do that. But yeah, I wouldn't have liked that format so much. That being said, I probably still would have paid for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure.
But got to.
Yeah. And one last thing before we get to the beer blast, I saw in an article also that there's mention of would you have paid $60 on pay per view to watch the finale 2 days early?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean I was looking forward to seeing it too, but I can't think of any finale I was so anticipating I would have paid to watch it 2 days. I don't think I would have done it either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually watched it one day late because I was watching it on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It was out this morning.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there was a lot of people just DVRing. So, I don't think that's would have done that.
Jesus. What's an interesting thought, though, is could it ever get to that point? Because this day and age with Twitter and instant news, that if you don't watch the finale with everyone else, you can't go 72 hours without knowing the ending, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough, to put yourself in that cone of silence for a couple of days. It's really difficult.
Oh, and by the way, Penn State just started, and they went a solid. They just shut Michigan down 3-and-out, and it was a glorious-looking defensive hold.
Start.
Good start. I'm so excited.
That's
okay.
A good start. And then lastly, I guess, with the weekend here, we got October. Usually it's some pumpkin brew, such like that, for our beer blast here. So I was wondering if you guys were going to have anything while you're watching this game tonight, or just in general, if you had any beer suggestions for our listeners.
Well, I mean, I've exhausted all pumpkin beers in previous podcasts, I think. So Schlafly, Pumpkin, if you got those, definitely pumpkin beers are the end thing to drink right now. I just had a Burton Baton from Dogfish Head. It's their double IPA. I forgot how delicious that was. So double IPA from Dogfish Head, if that's around. I mean, hoppy beers, I think, are delicious in the wintertime, too. They're usually high in alcohol and help keep you warm. And then another beer that I had that JJ, I think, is drinking their pumpkin beer. You need a brewing company. They have an American IPA called Hop Notch that is fantastic. So, and I think it's not that hard to find. But so if you see that on the shelves, definitely pick up a 6-pack and give it a shot.
Sounds good. Yeah, I just had the pumpkin. And then if any of you GDers out there find any Lost Abbey brews, I don't think they've come out here, but I want to know as soon as they do. It's the Lost Abbey Brewery. They have this Witch's Wit beer that is
delicious.
My favorite beer of all time. I had it at Mikey G's bachelor party. It was. I still think about it at night. It was 3 years.
they make phenomenal beer. They barrel age all their beers, and you can find them in DC sometimes. You really can't find them in Maryland. But if you find a very special Rodman's in DC, if you live in the DC area, is one of the better beer stores I've ever been to on Wisconsin Avenue, just south of Friendship Heights Metro exit. So definitely check out Rodman's whenever you get a chance.
Dude, if you guys go down to the Caps game, go get me a 6-pack.
Will do.
So I think that was a fantastic podcast. And,
absolutely.
Just to let you know, Hackenberg threw a pickle. Not surprising.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my. Wait. To leave and watch the beginning of what I think could be a debacle.
Ah, no. Think positive thoughts, Mike. Positive thoughts.
So much faith, yeah.
this has been good. You guys enjoy the game. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast or email us at the GD Podcast at gmail.com. For JJ Kowal and Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.